here.
Gotta be careful.
It's good now?
This is recording, but you gotta put your phone in your pocket.
Hey, I'm James. I'm a great recovering addict. As always, I thank God for guiding me to another Narcotics Anonymous meeting. For you people being here for me, I'm truly grateful. I'm dealing with a dope dealer instead of a hope dealer. Let me read something. I know it's late, and I know y'all drove through the same country I drove through, up the hills, around the house, to grandmama house. They didn't tell me that when they told me. They made it seem like it was down the street, Benny. Page 128 in the page of text says this: I have found that you're just like me. I am no longer better than or less than. I feel a real love and camaraderie in the Narcotics Anonymous fellowship. My great spiritual awakening has been that I am an ordinary addict. I am not unique. There are still those who refuse to join us and believe that they may die, but may God bless them too. I'm James. I'm a recovering addict. Hey, look, you know, I'm going to tell basically probably about three stories. Talk a little bit about God and give you a warning. If you have any intentions of enjoying the rest of this convention, which involves you practicing any form of insanity, I would ask you to leave the room now, because I'm probably going to mess up your reservation. But since you're in here at midnight, I assume that you are serious about the path that you have chosen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about something that ain't going to be so deep, but I want to talk about being emotionally unhealthy and spiritually immature. I want to talk about, Benny, how after 23 years of being clean, we can still be emotionally unhealthy and spiritually immature. How outside influences affects me physically, have me start thinking something that creates an emotional response that make me doubt my God. Because I can't jail my emotions, what's happening around me, with my prayer life. Because my prayer life has not had the capacity to match my behaviors. Because what I'm praying about is for you to change and not me. And y'all ain't acting right and participating in my prayers, so it don't look like I'm growing, and it look like I'm getting worse. So then I have a problem with you, and I have a problem with God, because can't nothing be wrong with me. So I don't have this capacity to take no deep look at me, because I still, after 23 years clean, have not grasped onto the concept that all you got is just for the day. Somewhere along the line, when I came here, and I got here, I didn't come in here saying, you know what? I'm going to have 23 years clean one day. It was one day at a time. And so now, at this place in my life, when I start, and I don't know how it happened, I think because I might be turning 50 in a couple of weeks. I came around here when I was 26 years old, and I'm about to turn 50. All of a sudden, I'm just emotional. I'm sitting there just crying about commercials. I don't even know why I'm crying. I'm supposed to be a gangster from the south side of Chicago, and I'm just crying about anything. My son started walking, and he brought me a bottle. He bought the bottle, and the sippy cup. And he said, Daddy, sippy cup. I said, oh my God. He said, sippy cup. I just started crying. And I said, what the hell are you crying for? Emotionally, right? I'm wet. Because, man, I'm going through some kind of process where I want to not just be better, I want to be my best. Because, see, the trick is, I realize during the course of this, during the course of coming around here, it don't take a lot of effort to be average. Because average is the same distance from the bottom as it is the top. And the last thing that you need to do or waste your time on is trying to motivate somebody who's average because they already peaked. You're spending a lot of time trying to make somebody think you can make somebody great who only want to be average because that's all they ever wanted to be, and you're trying to make them be more than they want to be for themselves. All they wanted was an average relationship. All they wanted was an average job. They just wanted to hang around the middle. But I don't know about y'all, the hell I come from, the basement I come up out of, I didn't come this far just to be average. So I got new challenges, man. I challenge myself because, see, look, I don't know about y'all, I got to be chasing something. That's how I ended up with 4 degrees. Just went back to school and get my real estate license, and I'm sitting here, and look, I was driving my car. I said, this don't even feel right. It don't have the adrenaline. I'm going to school. It don't have the adrenaline. You know what I need? I need to get on the train. So I parked my little fancy car. I got on the train. I'm standing in the, on the metro in Chicago. I'm standing, I got the little booth when the train come up. And I'm standing in the booth. The lady said to me, she said, sir, you might not want to stand in there. I said, why not? She said, it smells like piss. I said, that's where I need to be. I need the familiar smell of piss to motivate me. I stood in that booth. It smelled like piss. I leaned against the wall. I said, thank you, God. Because sometimes God got to take you through piss smells to get you to where you need to be. I done had some deep revelations in the midst of smelling piss. In alleys. In basements. Oh, y'all ain't regard. I forget. Y'all got high Trump Tower. Let me talk to y'all over here. I got some bougie dope things over here. They like, I don't know. Piss. I mean, urine. You know, whatever. What does he mean, piss? Yeah, piss. Straight piss. It smell like so much piss, you think the piss that got on you, you be like, me smelling like piss. And I said, man, I think I'm in the right place. And my son, he's 6 years old, right? Y'all pray for me. I got a son, 28, 25, my daughter, 22. I got a 6-year-old and a 20-month-year-old. Right? And the 20-month-year-old and the 6-year-old, they driving me straight crazy. I call them jump and holler. That's all they do. Just jump and holler. That's all they do. And they take turns. And I caught my son Malachi. That's the 6-year-old. I taught him training the 20-month-year-old. They was in the back, and he was like this. He said, he telling the little one. He said, just keep saying, daddy, 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 daddy. He training them. And so he come out, and so I'm sitting there trying to sleep. They there, daddy, 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 daddy. And I'm about to go crazy, man. But these little boys, right, they my life. Malachi said to me, I'm going to school. He said, daddy, what you doing? I said, I'm going to school. He said, you're 49. What you, he a kindergarten, he like, well damn, if I got to go to school to be 49, this might not work for me. You still going to school at 49? He like, what you doing? And I said, no, sir. I said, daddy at a place where he has to redefine who he is. Because if you don't give yourself a definition, somebody will define who you are. And so I had to redefine who I am, where I'm in my life, so I could get some redirections to where I'm going, because I don't never want to be the person that be the last one on the bus. So I'm going back, I'm challenging myself to do something different, reinvent who I am, redefine who I am, because the same stuff that worked yesterday ain't working today. Because to be the truth about y'all, because see, look here, man, for last year, and look, this, I'm going to say this before I go in here. For the last year, people always say, I want to know how honest I'm going to get. That means they about to lie. Ain't no degrees of honesty, you know. So, man, I was in a real dark place for about a year. I'm talking about a real dark place in your heart, a real dark place in your thoughts. It feels like borderline depression. Because the stuff, like I said, used to work, ain't working. The friends that you used to have, don't call. Huh? Because everybody is famous on Facebook. But I need some real likes. I don't just need a click and a smiley face. I need some real hugs. And so I'm in this dark place, man. And when you're in the dark place, you know what you tend to do? You tend to pull the people that love you into the dark place that you're in. Because you're trying to figure out, I'm trying to figure out, how can I destruct? Look, it's a button that got a staples. You push it, the easy button. Right. It's another button I got. And it's called the fuck everything up in your life button. And every now and then I just rub on it like you. I'm just going to touch it. Just, you know what I'm saying? So, I know y'all ain't like that. I'm a special kind of addict. But you know, it's some stuff that we do that we know just about to mess up our whole life. Just about to destroy everything that I work for. And the drilling. Look here, man. The adrenaline of trying to start all over after you messed it all up. That's a high. I destroyed all of this. See, that's them the things that I had to try to fight. When I was in recovery, I'm gonna miss 3 payments of my car note and get out of it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna get behind so much on my light bill, they gonna cut it off. But I'm gonna come in at the end of the day, save my light bill by getting on the payment plan. Because I want to be this hero to myself because I don't have the capacity to better myself, so I need to do something to make me feel good about myself. So, man, I'm sitting, man, I'm in this dark place, man. And everything around me, man, I'm against it. Everything that feels right, I don't want it to feel right. So I'm at odds, my peace, my household, it's interrupted, I guess disturbance in there. Me and my wife, we going at it. I'm just arguing with her. It don't make no difference. Whatever she say, I'm mad. It don't make no difference how she respond. I don't care. Because it takes a calculated, the same work you got to get to stay together is the same work you got to do to break up. You just got to decide which one you want to do. But some work going to have to be done. So I made the decision that we was going to go apart without her permission. And I'm trying to create peace, this harmony. I'm trying to create all this in my household because I'd rather be in the midst of chaos because I'm not feeling good about who I am. And how dare you feel good about who you are living in the same address I'm in. So I got to create an atmosphere where it's an insecurity in the whole house. It's no peace in the whole house. And then I'm comfortable in that because ain't nowhere in the hell you supposed to be happy when I ain't happy with who I am. And my prayer life is being affected. I ain't praying because I know prayer works. So I ain't going to pray to change something that I don't want to change. You know we restricted in our prayers. You know you ain't praying about everything that you don't get. You know, we real selective. Look, touch this, but don't touch that. Take away this, but you know you made me like this. So it's some stuff that I'm trying to hold on to. And man, I'm sitting up there, man, in my house. I was sitting up there, Benny. I'm telling the truth. I had it all divided up. I'm gonna take this room of furniture. She could get that. I'm gonna take this car. She could get that. I had it all divided up. And I messed around and did what I just told y'all. I prayed. And I sat down. And I sat down in the seat she normally sits. And when I sat down in her seat, God allowed me to see what she see. And then that's when my life changed. And the stuff that was pissing me off, I could actually change. She left. I need some space. Get you some space. I need some space too. And then she left, and I don't know why she didn't take the kids. If you gonna leave, she left me with the kids. As soon as she hit the door, daddy, he talking with a pacifier on the side of his mouth, daddy. I'm pissed off, man. And I sat in the seat, and look, I said, I got to get them ready. I'm going to get them ready, right? I said, she done left the house, and she didn't even wash the kids' clothes. That's why I don't want to be with her. She won't even wash the kids' clothes, leave me here with the kids. She know I'm 50 years old. I got a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old. I married her. I didn't want no more kids. And then some said, didn't you participate in all this situation? Huh? And then something else happened to me that was real crazy. Some said, why you can't wash the clothes? And I said, and I'm looking back, I said, wash the clothes. I said, I could probably wash the clothes. Then I washed the clothes. Then some said, yeah, let's get that look. This is just straight miraculous. Some said, why don't you fold them? And then, when I was folding them, another miracle happened. Some said, why don't you iron their clothes for the whole week? I said, well, it's too much right here. I can't be doing all this. Because if I mess around and do all of this, I might be creating peace in my house. What would I argue about? What would I fuss about? And she came home, right? And she looked, and she was like, and she almost passed out. She said, you do know in 6 years, you ain't never washed no clothes. She said, and you got the kids' clothes out and everything. I said, you know what? I made a decision that I want to choose peace instead of destruction. And she said this. She said, you know what? Let's go out and celebrate. Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. I said, Chuck E. Cheese? So, we go to Chuck E. Cheese. Chuck E. Cheese is like Vegas for little kids. Some kids happy because they got all the tickets. Other kids walking around like, I need a dependent because I ain't got no more money. So look, so I'm sitting there, Chuck E. Cheese, the biggest for little kids, right? And I'm watching my sons run around playing, but I'm sitting in the booth, right? Because I don't want to participate because I don't know if I want to be all in on this yet. And some said to me, man, get up. Go over there. Stand by your wife. Be with your wife. Be with your kids. Yeah, you raised 3 by yourself, but you got 2 right now. And then I had this revelation in Chuck E. Cheese. In Chuck E. Cheese. I'm sitting there. Chuck E. Cheese got a salad bar. I don't know why Chuck E. Cheese got a salad bar, but Chuck E. Cheese got a salad bar. I'm at the salad bar, and I'm going to change it to men's rap for about 2 minutes, so sister, I'm just going to let y'all be in it. I'm at the salad bar, and I'm making a salad, right? And as I'm making a salad, I innocently start having a conversation with a young lady. It wasn't purposefully. It was innocently. And in the midst of the conversation, I had something to come over me that said, this is another reason why your relationships don't work. In the midst of the conversation, she was saying something about the salad, blah, blah, blah. I said, man, I wish they had some raisins. And then she said, yeah. I said, girl, you got a whole bunch of salad on your plate. She said, yeah, woo, this. She said, pass me the dressing. I said, what kind of dressing you like? She said, oh, hand me the blue cheese. I said, girl, if you eat that blue cheese dressing, make sure you wipe around your mouth. She said, ooh. right? And normally, what would happen from that period on, all while I supposed to be at Chuck E. Cheese playing with my kids, being with my wife, I'm looking all the way across the room at the blue cheese dressing girl. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I ain't got no brothers gonna help me out. And so, and then I realized something, and you know what I realized? I got something on me that attracts this. It's something in me still that says I'm open and available to these type of conversations. It's something that I'm carrying because I don't want to fully invest in what I created, this wife and these two kids. So I'm trying to create an escape way out of the situation instead of manning up and saying I take responsibility for it. So God touched me in Chuck E. Cheese and said, man, you got to do something different. So for the last 6 months in my life, last 6 months, it's been the most peace I've had. It's scary, man. I mean, it's truly, it's mind-boggling. My daughter came home from school. She said, Daddy, something different about the house. She said, y'all get a new refrigerator? Did y'all get something new? I said, no. She said, what is it? I said, guess what? We getting along. She said, well, how? She said, how you do that? I said, you got to listen to the other person. And we start doing this tripped out thing called communication. And we start having communication. And this is really deep. Watch this. Right around a couple of weeks ago, we made love without touching each other. Because I felt her and she felt me. And watch this. This is what's gonna trip out, y'all. What's gonna trip out? As I'm standing here, I'm getting better. You know why? Because normally I wouldn't even share this. Normally I wouldn't even share this. Because you don't want to be in a position where you become vulnerable. Instead of going around your defect, I'm dealing with them. And the stuff that I'm trying to create. I tend to do things outside my house that I would never do in my house. Why can't I take that home? Why can't I be polite? Why can't I be generous to you? Why can't I show the same love and compassion and respect that I show to everybody else? Why can't I show that to the person that I committed myself to? And maybe I'll get some reciprocity in that, man. When the last time you said to yourself, that made me grow. When the last time you've been through a situation and you can honestly say, that made me grow, man. Because I'm sitting up here, man, my son, they teach me a lot. Like, I'm sitting up here with Malachi. He come to me and he said, Daddy, I need you to fix my truck. Because he got this little remote control truck that don't work. The door cut off, windshield busted, two of the tires missing, you flip it over, the battery thing gone, and he just scooting across the floor, right? And he come to me and say, Dad, I need you to put the door back on. So, because he think I could do everything, I put the door back on, he go play with it for 10 minutes, come back, door fall off. And so, the daddy I am, I go buy him a new truck. He come home, I said, Malachi, I got something for you. He said, what? I pulled it out the box, put the batteries in it. I pushed the button. It's going to the wall, flip up the wall, come back, flip back, come back over. I said, man, he looked at it. He said, Daddy, I don't want that. I said, but it's brand new. It got all the doors, all the wheels, the trucks, the batteries in there. It got everything. He said, but I know how this will work. He said, I don't know how to work that one, but I know how to work this. So you know how to work the one that's broke. You didn't learn how to work what is deficient. But what is new and operable, you don't want to learn how to work that. And when he said that to me, I said, man, I've been playing with broken trucks all my life. I've been making do with relationships with two wheels on business. A dough broke. Ain't got no batteries. And I got to push him with my own hand to get him from here to there. And when I get one that work, I don't want that. I don't want one that works. I don't want one that go up the walls, make flips, can reverse, go back, the light cut on. I don't want that. I want something that's broke down. I got to push it so then I can take responsibility for the whole thing. And so this was when I started growing up. 23 years clean. Me and my wife sat down. She said something to me. She said, how long is the new James going to be around? I said, I don't know, but just for the day. I don't know if I'm going to be who I am tomorrow, but just for today, I know this, I'm all in. And that's a major thing for me, man. Because we're so talented, because we're so talented, we never give 100% to nothing. Only thing. And you saw some people look around and say, well, how can you make a blatant statement like that? We talented. We talented and we innovative. We talented, innovative, and we already got faith. So me talk about God, if that scare you, you already prove you got faith. Because anybody that go all day long, sell coochie, steal, lie, and get $10 and drop a rock in a can, you got some faith. You got some faith. You can act like you ain't got no God, but after you done sold, stole, lied, cheat, and got you a nickel bag of dope, and you took the $5 that you had to do all that for and stuck it in a hole and didn't know who was on the other side, you got some faith. You got some faith. You got some faith, man. Don't tell me we ain't got tenacity and drive. Don't tell me that, because I already know it, because y'all just like me. Don't tell me you can't make nothing out of, you can't make something out of nothing. Me? Dude, I couldn't go to sleep with 50 Cent. You think I was going to come home with 50 Cent? I'm $4.50 away from another bag. If I had 50 Cent in my hand, man, look here, I got to get back outside. Ain't going to sleep with no good dope fiend ain't going to sleep with no 50 Cent in the pocket, man. You ain't even a real dope fiend, you went to sleep with 50 Cent in your pocket. That's impossible. You at the wrong meeting. You might need to be at the meeting they was talking about at the Clarity State. Because you won't go look here. And this is the thing, right? And this is the thing I'm dealing with, man. So I'm trying to process my early recovery into my 23 years now, realizing it still works. And it's applicable in all areas of my life, man. And because it's applicable in all areas of my life, I see myself, man, coming out of that place, man. Man, never come down on somebody or how long it takes them to get somewhere. Because you don't know the hole, how deep the hole was that they had to climb up out of. Man, you don't know the hole I was in, man. You don't know how deep I was in, man. And when you look around, right? And when you look around, because to have a spiritual awakening means that your spirit will never go to sleep again. Somebody asked me one day, I was somewhere speaking, and I said this statement, and the lady came up and said, take it back, please take it back, don't say that no more. I said, look, if I use God, go kill me. And afterwards she said, why you said, please don't say that, don't say that. And I said, I had to say that. I said, you know why I had to say that? Because God has took me through so many triumphs. That God ain't gonna allow me to stand on no corner and ask for no quarters. It ain't just because how great I am. It's the fact that I'm not going to allow my grace to be displayed like that. I got a casket coming, man. All these CDs and all these DVDs, and we've been speaking all over the world, Shelly. We done did all this stuff. And you think God gonna let you stand on 47th Street again? I'm scared, man. And my prayer today is I want my behavior to reflect what I ask. I want for the first time in my life, my thoughts to match my prayers, and that match my feet. Because, yeah, man, we doing good, but we could do better. So, man, I'm sitting up here now, man. I'm being a father all over again. I'm doing homework. I ain't know. Look, my son, Malachi killed me up. He going to tell me, he going to give me the spelling test to make sure I know how to spell the word. He trying to trip me up, right? I come out the first day of school and get in the car, and I told you, I'm trying to lock in and show my love. Because it don't make no sense for you to love somebody if you ain't going to show them you love them. if you ain't going to put yourself in a position to be vulnerable enough to show that you love them, what's the point of you loving them in the first place? Ain't nothing cool about being in love. Sometimes you're going to look like a damn fool. But at least you're looking like a damn fool in the person that you're in love with. So I'm telling you this. And so some stuff I only can share in here. Because if I share outside, you know how y'all ladies look. Be like, wait, you doing something? So I got to be mindful, because I got to feed my own self. So I'm mindful as I talk to my sons that my wife be listening. So Malachi got in the car. He said, Daddy, you went to school? I was like, yeah. How was school, Dad? I said, school was good, son. He said, you make any friends? I said, yeah. I met a boy named Tommy. I brought a boy named Jack. He said, you didn't meet no girls? I said, no, I don't like girls. I just like I was sick, just like him, I said, ugh, I don't like no girls. And so I'm just real mindful, y'all, of how I could be in the best position to be the best me that I could be, man. And that's the hard part about this, man. Let me share this with you. Two things I want to tell you. It's two things that I don't want you. Two things I don't want nobody to see. And it's something that I don't want nobody to know. And I realized this, right? I heard the brother mom from DC said this earlier about how the disease tried to get you anywhere it can. And the disease, it's almost like, and I heard somebody say this, it's almost like, look, when we was little, we had mice. Y'all had rats. We had mice. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you had rats. You know, you had to catch them. But we had mice, right? And so we used to get the peanut butter, put it on the mouse trap. And my mom used to say, we used to sit there, me and my brothers, and we'd sit there and we said, man, the mouse came from right over there. So we'd put the mouse trap, right, wherever we seen the mouse come from. Then we'd sit back and we'd wait. And then you look, say, damn, the mouse just ran over there. Then you'll move the mouse trap. Right? And you keep moving the mouse trap to wherever you seen the mouse. But sooner or later, you hear something go, pack! That's the disease of addiction. Wherever you at, if you move over there, are you married? Let's move the trap over there. Oh, you one of them love God people. Let's move the trap right there. Huh? Are you trying to go back to school? Let's move the trap. Wherever we try to move to avoid the disease moves the trap to get us right there. And at some point, you got to realize that I got to do something better. That I can put some distance between what's there, because it's all about what attracts me. Because the same thing that's common about the mouse trap, no matter where they put it, it's still got peanut butter. And as long as I lose the appetite for the peanut butter, I can't never deal with the trap. And the thing that gets me, and the thing that I'm dealing with right now, I keep saying it's a 23 years clean, is the obsession and the compulsion. The inability to admit that I'm wrong. When I know I'm wrong. So I'm growing. And it feels good to say, I'm growing. Went down here, my baby girl, she graduating from New Orleans. Proud of her. And it made me remember when I was coming up. And I'm in a place right now, Shelly. I'm excited and I'm scared. And that's God. Whenever you are excited about something about to happen and you scared about it happening, that's God. Because the other piece about that is you can't increase your faith unless you be put in a position where you have no faith. That's the only thing you got. You can't do that. That's my wife calling. You know what I'm saying? Tell me you love me. See, I ain't got it on my thing. Look here. So she told. I said, look, you can't increase your faith unless you're being put in a position where you don't have no faith. So the moment I say increase my faith, I'm asking for a challenge that I feel as though can't be accomplished. Because I don't need faith in situations where I already made it. I need faith in places that I'm trying to go and grow. I already did that. But I need to be in somewhere else now. And remember, I was talking to my daughter. She said, look here, Daddy. She said, Daddy, what you want me to do about this? We going out here. I'm graduating. I don't know the next phase of my life. I had to remind her of where we come from. I had to remind her of the struggles that we had to do to get to where we're going. I got 23 years clean. She's 22 years old. She ain't never seen me high. I didn't give her the disappointment that I gave my oldest son when he asked me to come home with a blue juice and a bag of Flamin' Hots. And I couldn't come home because I couldn't have the 50 cents that I needed for a blue juice and a Flamin' Hots. I had to put on a bag of dope. She never experienced that. She experienced NA meets, but she never experienced the disappointment in your looking in your kid's face and you did they disappointed because you let them down. She never experienced that. Same disappointment I had with my daddy. Because my daddy left when I was 4 years old and I didn't see him again until I was 23 years old. And at 23 years old, when they told me your daddy died of brain cancer, I said, man, I don't care about that man dying. And on my way out the door to go see the dying man that for 20 years I wanted to cuss out, my mama did something that blew my mind. She handed me a bowl of peas and some cornbread. And she said, you know, your daddy always liked my peas and cornbread. When you see him, give them to him. And I said, you mean to tell me this that left me for 20 years, you want me to deliver some peas and cornbread? And she showed me what unconditional love looked like. And when I walked up the 17 stairs to see my father, who was dying, every step I walked up, I was firing myself up. And when I walked in that room, and he said, hey, Jimmy, call my name. 20 years of pain left away with one hug. The man hugged me. And when he hugged me after 20 years, all the hate, the pain that I wanted for him, it evaporated in that. And that's the same thing that I got when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. The power of one hug. If you leave this room today, two things you need to know. All you got is just for the day and how powerful that hug is. And the next time you hear somebody talk about somebody who's been through something or lost something, instead of you talking about them, looking at them, walk up to them and hug them. Embrace them. Because guess what, man? We all go through the same thing. We all struggling trying to make it. We all fighting the same disease of addiction trying to kill us at any expense. We all praying and we all trying to get a little better, a little bit, a bit, a little better, and separate ourselves from that. So when I told my daughter, I said, hey girl, don't ever forget where we come from. And I'm going to say this and I'm finished. I grew up, I had three kids, grew up without my father, told y'all that I didn't have no father, grew up without my father. Every, the first day of school, I hated it. Because on the first day of school, every year they asked us the same question. What you do this year? What you do in the summer? And I used to lie. My daddy took me fishing. My daddy took me to Mississippi. And I ain't never seen my father. And I made a pledge to myself then, whenever I become a father, I would never not have a kid to take my kids on vacation. As soon as I came to recovery, I started off real small. I took them camping. Got me a cabin. I got me a sleeping bag. Got me a tent. We went from a camp. We went from a tent. Then next thing you know, I was at Yogi Bear Park. I got me a cabin. Then I went from a cabin. Then I went on a cruise. We went on cruises. Then all of a sudden, I got real big and I bought a timeshare. I got three kids. My nephew, he with me, is four kids. I got four kids. I'm taking them by myself. I'm 34, 35 years old. I got about 6-7 years in recovery. And I'm traveling all around the world. And I done bought me a timeshare. But the timeshare was in North Dakota. Because it only cost me $99. But hell, I had one. And the kids said, where we going? I said, we going to North Dakota. And they said, what's in North Dakota? I said, we going skiing. And they said, skiing? What's skiing? I said, well, I'll show you when we get there. So y'all got to realize, I was a black man with four black kids in North Dakota skiing. Okay, let me talk to y'all now. Because y'all, they don't get it. Let me talk to y'all. That's a miracle. It was a black man with four black kids in North Dakota skiing. And the trip out part, we get up to North Dakota, I got the timeshare, they skiing. And look, my three boys, they coming down, they just skiing. Because the trip out part of it is, watch this, I don't care how poor you is and I don't care what color you is, if you allow the kid the opportunity to do something, they'll do it. And they skiing. And my daughter looked up and seen the boys skiing and all that. She said, Daddy, I want to do something the boys can't do. So I come from one of them families, we competitive. So we fought over Monopoly. I know y'all, my mama said, y'all can't play this. I put out a butcher knife. Oh, he going to give me my goddamn. Land on boardwalk again and don't give me my $2,000. You going to give me my money. Y'all see, my mama, we couldn't even play games. Boy, y'all put that up. Because y'all, we be in there about to stab each other over Monopoly. So I come from a competitive family like that. So I understood what my daughter said. Look here, I want to do something they don't know how to do. And so I looked on the wall, and she pointed to the wall, and she seen a picture of a man feeding ducks. And she said, tomorrow, she said, Daddy, can I do that? I said, yeah, baby girl, when we get up tomorrow, we going to go out and feed ducks. And so she was like, okay, so the next day she woke me up, right? I got some bread. I opened up the door. I told y'all we were skiing in North Dakota. Now, I'm from Chicago. Chicago cold ain't got nothing on North Dakota cold. That ain't even the same ballpark, right? So I opened up the door. It was so cold. I said, baby girl, they still sleep. Let's just say we fed ducks. She said, Daddy, ain't that lying? I said, no, it ain't lying when your daddy tell you. She said, no, Daddy, you said we going to feed ducks. So I put on my coat. We go outside. I get halfway up the road, right, halfway up the trail, and I'm freezing. She said, baby girl. I said, baby girl, at least we came outside. She said, no, you said we going to feed ducks. Right? We get all the way to the pond. I look over in the pond. The pond frozen. I said, baby girl, ain't no ducks out here. She said, Daddy, you said you gonna feed ducks. Give me the bread. And she started throwing the bread in the pond. Guess what happened? Ducks started showing up. So I started throwing bread in the pond. And more ducks start coming in, right? We get back to the cabin. My little nephew, he's a smart one, right? He runs up to me. He said, "Where y'all been?" And she said, "We've been feeding ducks." She said, "We've been feeding ducks." Right? And my nephew said, "You lying? You ain't been feeding no ducks. It ain't even duck season. Ducks migrate." Right? And she said, "Yeah, we've been feeding ducks up there in the pond." He grabbed the bread, run up to the pond, and come back. And we get back. He said, "I know y'all was lying. Ain't no ducks up there." She said, "You know what your problem is?" He said, "What?" She said, "You don't know how to feed ducks." He said, "Well, how do you feed ducks?" She said, "You feed them even though you don't see them." And maybe that's what our problem is. We wait to see it before we start feeding. But what if we have the same faith that we had in the crack house that we have right now, and the same way you fed that $5 into that hole to eyeball? What if you fed your dreams like that even though you don't see it? What if you fed that marriage that you didn't know? What if you fed that relationship? What if you fed you going back to school? You don't see how you're going to graduate. You don't see how you're going to get through it. You don't know how it is. But I got enough faith to feed it even though I don't see it. So if you see me out there and you say, "James D., what in the hell are you doing?" I'm feeding ducks, even though I don't see them. I'm James, and I keep coming back.
Hey, look, let me get y'all attention real fast. For a lot of people who haven't